the Kingdom of Nigh. You're hearing Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Much more than just a talk show. To participate in the program, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Raging away on a Saturday morning. Good morning, everybody. Those of you just joining us at this hour, my guest is Preston Nichols, and he worked on the Montauk Project. Preston now is semi-retired and lives in East Islip, New York. And he's been telling us about the Montauk Project. Incredible things. Travel through time, space possibly, I guess both. Mind control. Mind amplifiers. Thought amplifiers, that's what we're talking about. Now, back to Preston Nichols and the Montauk Project. Preston, are you there?
Yep.
Good. I've got a number of questions for you, Preston, faxed in, and then we'll get to the telephones.
Well, let's also discuss the seminar.
All right, the seminar. There is a seminar coming up. Is it going to be in the Seattle area?
It's in the Seattle area on the weekend of the 18th and 19th of June.
All right. The 18th and 19th, where is it going to be?
I don't know myself. They haven't told me. I was hoping they told you.
No.
I understand it's going to be advertised in the local papers.
All right, and you're going to be there. What about Al Bielek?
Al Bielek and Duncan Cameron, this is almost a once-a-year event where all three of us are there at the same time. I'll also be showing the videotape that shows the pulse modulations, the signals, the particle beam radar that was discovered out there, and the whole nine yards of what's happening present-day Montauk.
All right, so there'll be advertisements all over the Seattle area about it.
This is what I'm told.
All right. Maybe one of our listeners will give us the detailed information we can
write.
All right. And we'll get to that again. Art, I would like to ask Preston whether there is a possibility that the occurrences at Amityville, New York could somehow be related to the Montauk Project. I got this thought while reading his book, Montauk Revisited. That's your book?
Yep. You mean the Amityville Horror stuff?
That's right.
I don't know. I was involved as a parapsychology researcher years ago, and we really couldn't tie much of anything to that house. That's the only statement I'll make on it.
You were there?
Mm-hmm.
You were at Amityville.
About 10 miles west of here.
Very briefly, let's take a sidetrack, because that's fascinating. What did you find at Amityville? I've seen the movie. I don't know how much relationship that has to what really happened.
Well, we checked the heat, we checked the heat differentials, we checked the static charges, we checked them for magnetic anomalies. We didn't find anything. We didn't find anything to back up the bugs. We didn't find anything to back up the bleeding walls. I myself feel that this is something that maybe there was a genuine haunting, but the fellow that wrote the book just blew the thing way out of proportion.
All right.
But we couldn't find anything to back it up. I was involved in a team of parapsychologists that was called in to investigate it.
All right.
There was even rumors of an Indian burial ground under the house. Who knows what really happened there? I don't know.
All right. Dear Art, I wonder if you would ask your guest if the super collider was in any way planned to be used with the project he was working on, Montauk.
No, because the super collider came afterwards. Although we have been getting a lot of information lately that they are using particle accelerators as particle beam weapons, of course, a particle beam power source, or a particle beam amplifier. This is where they use particles going to the velocity of light doing the mass energy conversion based upon E equals MC squared. I will tell the public that the physicists have reached the speed of light with particles and that they today are using this as a power source or a power amplifier. Imagine a power amplifier that can tap the power of a nuclear bomb, literally. This may be where they got all the power to bend space and time at Montauk. We know there was a particle accelerator, and I believe it's active today because once myself and other people walking over it got a dose of some sort of radiation.
Well, I know this.
Such a radiation sickness for a while.
Preston, I know this, that they have considered using nuclear explosions or controlled explosions in satellites to focus beams. Is that
to focus a laser?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read the same thing. That's supposedly a Star Wars weapon.
Exactly.
But we really don't need that. All we got to do is accelerate particles to C. They do it by starting out with a large accelerator, dumping into a smaller one, into a smaller one yet, and each time you go to a smaller and smaller one, the velocity just goes up. Remember, as you bring the particles closer in a circle, what happens? The momentum makes them go faster and faster. And at some point, you're going to reach C, the speed of light. And magical things happen when you reach the speed of light.
Well, what about surpassing it? Is it possible?
Not in this dimension.
So that in effect...
100% correct. You cannot surpass the speed of light within our reference frame. If you're going to surpass the speed of light, you got to do it in another reference frame relative to ours. And I'm saying I believe it's possible to go past it, but not in our reality as we know it. You got to warp into another reality to go past the speed of light relative to us here.
All right. Listen, this comes from St. Louis, Missouri. Please ask Mr. Nichols if there's a way that anybody can render himself or herself impervious to mind control by any outside force or protection.
Well, what you have to do is you have to consider the level of consciousness and awareness this thing is operating at, and you just got to raise your level of awareness above that. The mind, if it's aware of what's going on, the mind can automatically protect against this. That's part of why I'm putting this information out, to let people know what's going on so they got an idea of how to protect themselves on a subconscious level.
You're saying then, in effect, that
there's no devices that will protect you.
So, in effect, you can protect yourself with your own will.
Right.
All right, I've got it, I think.
This is a message of the New Age, essentially.
So the New Age is mixed in with all of this.
Oh, yes. Very definitely.
All right.
This is the application of New Age metaphysical principles to technology. This is what we're talking of.
All right. Let us go to the telephones and see what's out there. For Preston Nichols on the wild card line, you're on the air. Hi, where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Bourbon, Missouri.
Bourbon, Missouri. All right. Turn your radio off, sir.
You have it.
Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
All right. You're on the air with Preston Nichols. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. Hello, Preston?
Yes.
Excuse me.
You got the same call problem I got.
Yeah, I know. It's the late night time and the early spring atmosphere, okay?
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Pollen is terrible. Anyway, I wonder if you ever heard of a guy named Edward Teller.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you
Rocket
ever read
scientist.
His a book on the astrometrical universe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in there you realize that he talks about the unlimited power that is available through the antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a man who's very credible because
mm-hmm.
he invented the, was largely responsible for the invention of the atomic bomb.
And he's also a rocket scientist.
And he's also a rocket scientist. That's absolutely correct. But we also know, you and I know anyway, and I don't know how many other people know, but he was also instrumental in some of the accelerators where they actually created antimatter.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And when you have antimatter meet real matter, you have
Ooh.
100% conversion of energy.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Well,
if you can tap it, that can be quite useful.
But it can be quite useful. And the fact of the matter is that you have an unlimited power source.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
When you consider the basic equation of E is equal to MC squared.
Yeah, we just heard that a minute ago.
That's right. You have a tremendous amount of power that is available.
Consider the power of one neutron, sir, accelerated to speed of light.
That's right. And when you have that much
power. Something like a megawatt.
That's right. And when you have that much power, you could consider what 1 ounce of real matter versus 1 ounce of antimatter could do. And somewhere in our future, this is our new power source.
Well, I think in certain sectors, this is our power source today.
You think it's already being utilized?
Oh, yeah. I've seen evidence of it.
God, you know, they talk about the danger of a nuclear plant going south and a meltdown, but
one of these accelerators goes south.
Well, that was my question, Preston. if one of these were to go south, it seems to me the planet would sort of blink out.
It might. We've often been, you know, friends of mine and myself, the nuclear physicists, have often been joking, well, someday we'll say, gee, there used to be nice land out at Montauk. The particle accelerator went south, and now there's a black hole there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing is, most of these accelerators, from what I understand, I'm not a nuclear physicist, but I know three of them. They tell me that they use neutrons. I think we're all well aware of neutron radiation.
Yes.
And a nuclear medicine doctor that checked me out said that most likely I got hit with neutron radiation. Probably what happened as I was walking over the accelerator. Yes, they allow you to walk over the damn thing. They must have had a burst in the past, and it made a burst of neutron radiation. We all got it.
I see.
We all had itchy sores and sickness and felt disoriented for a couple of days afterwards. There aren't these nice guys. They don't shut off the area where the accelerator is. They let you walk around that.
All right, on the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Good evening.
Good evening. Sir, I hope you'll bear with me and give me as much time as you did your last caller.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what you've got to say.
A couple of questions there. Hey, Preston?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this things you've been talking about now, okay, it kind of relates back to where the Jews...
All right, that's it. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. Would have been on the air. Let me see. Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good evening, Art. Yes, sir. I had a question for your guest. Before the last commercial break, he spoke briefly about him and some of his colleagues turning against this project because things were getting, he said, evil. If you could, have him expand on that and tell us a little bit more about exactly what he meant by the evil nature the project was taking.
All right, where are you, please? All right, where are you?
Oh, I'm in St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, all right. Expand on the evil part of your statement, if you would.
Well, I feel the whole mind control aspect of the thing is evil. Man is meant to have a free mind, not to be dominated. Also, they were working in maneuvering and manipulating time so certain people would have power that probably shouldn't have power, or the power group would get more power and they get more oppressive and, you know, the whole nine yards of this.
Well,
and
I guess,
also,
you remember the old expression, once they've seen something or another, Perry, how are you going to keep them down on the farm? Once they've experimented with mind control or imagine or know they can control minds, how are you ever going to stop them?
I don't know. Only way I can see you stopping them is get the population aware enough that it just doesn't work.
Is there any way that a person could know, just as a question, that their mind is being controlled?
I guess if you start doing things out of character, that would be a good sign of it. Also, if you had the monitoring equipment, if you knew what to listen for, if you're educated in radio like you and I are, you could probably pick this up on a radio and notice the very sharp, edgy tones that would appear on your radio.
Mm. All right.
I can tune in and listen and hear the stuff.
All right. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Yes, I have two questions. One of them, I was interested in Al Bielek talked about age regression, and I was interested if Preston Nichols knew exactly how to pull this off.
All right, where are you, sir?
St. Louis, Missouri, and I have one more question.
All right.
Quick question. I have a book called Mind Machines You Can Build by G. Harry Stein, and in the book, it's a little diagram on an instrument he called a wishing machine.
A what machine?
A wishing machine.
Wishing?
Yes, it used the device. He says that it was, I guess, originally built back in the 40s, and he says it uses an audio amplifier, a couple of copper plates, an antenna, a 6-volt battery, and, you know, a couple other little simple things like that. And he said that you would use a pitcher, and you would put it in between the two copper plates.
This is like a radionics device.
Maybe so. Like I say, the name of the book is Mind Machines You Can Build.
Right.
But with this device, they said at long distances, they could, a 20-acre cornfield that was infested with bugs or whatever, that they would have a 90% kill rate just by consciously focusing on the picture.
Yeah, this is typical radionics, yeah.
All right, thank you.
All right, to answer the man's first question.
Age regression.
age, not age, age, A-G-E,
right.
Probably talking of.
Right.
I'm not going to say this is impossible, because we have theories today which are stating that there's an energy lattice, a energetic replication of the DNA of the human being, which is magnetically coupled into the genome, into the DNA, and that there are many levels of DNA, and aging is essentially the loss of control of the differentiation of the DNA from the quantum electromagnetic pattern that we're calling a lattice. If you can somehow restore this control, theoretically you could grow back to whatever portion of the DNA you would activate. Now, Al speaks of being age regressed back to a one-year-old baby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether or not the DNA is still there for that. If it is, I don't think it's impossible to do. Now, also, I run into one other person that the only thing that explains what's happened to him, and he's being truthful, I feel, is some sort of age regression. Now, I have not heard reports from other sources on this. See, when I hear a report like this, I consider where it's coming from, and I like to get maybe 5 or 6 reports saying, yes, age regression has happened. I haven't had it. I've only had Al Bielek himself, one other source, which I don't consider at all credible, and now the one we run into very recently. So again, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but also I think it's a quite fantastic story that I wish was true. I'd like to have it myself.
Yeah, you betcha. Look, if it is possible to travel in time,
and I don't know how to do age regression.
Right, I was going to ask you, Preston, if it's possible to travel in time, and I went back to, say, 1950, my chronological age at the end of the travel would still be what it is at the just roughly the moment I left, wouldn't
it? Yes, exactly. This is why I think if you're going to do age regression, you got to do something through the DNA.
Through the DNA.
You got to somehow change the differentiation to go back to the genome that you were replicating when you were like 20 years old, let's say.
Well, that would
and
be
of
a...
of course, the body would grow young.
That would be a very delicate genetic manipulation indeed, wouldn't it?
It may be electromagnetic.
Electromagnetic.
Because it's being suggested by a lot of learned geneticists that Dr. Glenn Ryan has shown a lot of research that... subtle or quantum electromagnetic waves do affect the way the double helix is wrapped up in
spiral. All right, Preston, hold it right there. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour break.
10-4.
Preston Nichols is my guest.
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, 702-727-1222, 702-727-1222, or use the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM on the CBC Radio Network.
Tell me, have you ever done anything and a moment later said, why'd I do that? Mind control? Or just a bit of aberrant human behavior because of random firing of synapses? Well, who knows? Might have been, might be, might be possible. Anyway, we're talking to Preston Nichols. He's written about the Montauk Project, talking about the Montauk Project this morning, and much more. If you have a question, pick up the telephone. Here's a fax from Dennis in Missoula, Montana. Art, please, in all seriousness, ask your guest if he knows anything about the nine rulers of the White Lodge. Sounds strange to me.
Sounds to me, too.
Not, you haven't heard of the nine rulers of the White Lodge?
No, that's a new one on me. I've heard of the Order of 12 and that sort of thing.
But not the nine. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that disposes of that quickly. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello. Hello there. No, you're not. You're not. Are you there? Last chance. I guess they're not. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Hello. How's it going tonight?
Okay, sir. Where are you?
I am in Kansas City, Missouri, Art.
Okay.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Geez, just listening and really don't have too much to say other than enjoying your show. Keep up what you're doing.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call.
This
on the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Yes, hi, Art.
Hello, sir.
Yes, I'm from Long Island originally, and I just recently moved about a year and a half ago.
Where are you now?
I'm in Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay.
And now I'm 28 years old, and I'm intelligent. I know for a fact that I've got a 138 IQ, borderline genius. Yet at the same time, I've always wondered why I was never in tune with what was going on politically. I never could quite understand the political process.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. You know, I'm from Suffolk County. I'm from Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved in, it was July of 91. July of 91, I moved from Suffolk County. I moved into Elmont in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I had...
We call it Suffering County and Nauseous County.
Yeah. That was where I first started listening to political commentary on talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I moved to New Orleans, and I really started to get involved. I started to know what was going on.
Well, what's the question?
Yeah, what is the question? How does this relate to my guest, sir?
Well, what I'm saying is, you're talking about mind control.
Mm-hmm.
As fantastic as it sounds, it's starting to make a little bit of sense to me. I don't know.
This is what a lot of people say. Considering,
I mean, I was completely blind. Considering
what's happening, there's a lot going on.
Uh huh.
That will fit this.
Art
was talking about the people just all of a sudden shooting.
It confounds me how I was so blind until I moved out of Suffolk County, until I moved off of Long Island, really. Now I'm just
well, here, you're sitting right in the midst of dissemination.
Exactly. It just sounds so fantastic. And Art, I can tell by your voice, by, you know, the entire conversation you've been having, it just sounds so fantastic. But it makes sense. I don't know.
Well, all right, thank you.
It's based in real science, sir.
Yeah, I have learned long ago not to stick up my nose at what appears to be fantastic because I've been surprised too many times. And I'm sure of this, Preston, that we as human beings, our government, whoever, the powers that be, would have great interest in mind control, and if they're not working on it, I think that would be more fantastic than believing that they are working on
right.
it. I mean, it's that simple.
Well, I'd like to say at this point that if someone comes and asks me how much the legend is true, I would tell them the Philadelphia experiment is true, the mind control aspiration, the mind control part of the project is probably 90-odd% correct. I'm just not sure exactly how well the time tunnel worked. That would be my assessment of how successful they were.
All right,
I thoroughly believe the mind control worked, and it's thoroughly possible. The only thing is they could not at that time work on mass populations using the particle beam system that interacts with the brain directly. You don't need a signature anymore.
So,
using the particle beam system.
So you're saying that mass mind control is not necessarily possible?
Today it is.
Today it is.
Today it is because,
oh, great.
See, before you used to go in with a signature to the non-physical mind. Today they're using a particle beam to modulate the particle interchange between the synaptic interchanges in the brain, either read patterns or modulate patterns on the brain.
Oh, boy. So you're saying they could be sending out signals that are actually controlling the masses.
Mm-hmm. Synapses.
Wow. Wonderful.
Well, you have to consider, what is
the synaptic interchange. It's essentially ionic, and what is
yes.
ionic?
Yes,
ions
no, that's true. No, it's absolutely true.
If you can create interference from one particle to another particle,
I've got
you can modulate.
All right, I've got a caller. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Hello. I'm calling for Art Bell.
Yes, that's me.
Art?
Yes.
This is Bob down here in Santa Maria, California, KSMA.
Yes, sir.
40?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. I've been trying to call you. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Okay.
You got a copy on me, sir?
I hear you fine.
Okay. I had a complaint, but now I don't think I want to complain. I'd just like to talk to you and share a little of my situation with you, if I might.
Well, I have a guest, sir. Are you calling for my guest?
No, I was just calling.
All right, well, thank you very much, but please call back at another time. And on the toll-free line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Good evening.
Yes. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I just wondered if you can tell me, he advertised a shortwave radio the other night, and I didn't get the telephone number.
All right, I'll give it to you, 1-800-522-8863, 1-800-522-8863. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Oh, hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Lance in Seattle, KBI.
Okay.
That mind control device that he's talking about is manufactured here. It's in a suitcase. It's like a small suitcase, and it says on the side of it, for animal control use only. And when it's used for people control, you can call the FCC and file a complaint, and they know all about it. It's nothing new.
Well, it sure is new to me. What is it?
Well, it's been around since about 80.
What is it? What is it, sir?
Well, it just focuses on a specific part of the brain, and then your mind starts to look in that area, and you can see things in your own mind and hear things. It sounds like you're in a room full of people, and there's nobody around. Or you can see eyes blinking in front of you and all kind of things. It's all in your own mind. It's not outside your mind like a hologram. But it does exist, and it doesn't take anything except call the FCC to find out.
Well, I've never seen one. I've never heard of one.
Well, I just thought I'd add it to your program, sir.
All right, thank you. I've never. Have you heard of such thing?
I've heard rumors of it. I've heard rumors that this has been developed for years. See, what they're working there, that's mood control more than anything, I think.
I know, Preston, that there's been a lot of research done on the effect of low frequencies on human beings.
Exactly.
Is that what he's talking about?
Well, what he's saying is it can transmit the effect on a whole room full of people, the eyes, the head of you. All this might be doing is fragmenting your own memories, working directly, physically into the brain. And this could be done with some sort of VLF, ELF-type device.
All right. What about the transmissions made by the middle part of our country? Very powerful ELF transmissions to our submarines.
Yeah, I forget what that's called. I know what you're talking about.
I was just wondering if you think that kind of level of low-frequency transmission could affect biological entities that are close to the source.
That appears to be mostly sinusoidal teletype-type modulation.
Right.
It's not direct on and off.
So without the pulsing, you don't think there'd be a lot of effect?
No.
All right.
Remember, the mind itself, the brain will automatically even out a change in level. You got to change the level so fast that the DC restoration in the neurological system doesn't work.
Can't deal with it. All right, on the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Good morning.
Hello, is Preston Nichols there?
Yes, right here, sir.
Okay, you talk about time travel, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, I believe in time travel. Do you
okay.
think time travel like happens in your psychic ability, your dreams?
Yeah, some people believe that.
Okay, now how can they apply this to technology and science and stuff?
Essentially, by taking what a person can dream or generating a virtual reality and transmitting it through a very powerful transmitter and bringing it into our physical reality.
Was this like a strong electromagnetism thing, you know, projected from the brain itself?
Well, it was emanations from the human being projected through a very powerful electromagnetic transmitter. Yes, it was.
All All right, sir, thank you. That's exactly how it was done. In other words, the human brain does generate a signal. It is a very weak signal normally, isn't that?
Well, it's actually a virtual state signal.
It's what?
It's what we call a quantum wave. It does not fully exist in our reality. It exists in the reality that the imaginary solutions in our mathematics, you know, the sine functions represent.
You're starting to lose me, Preston. Reduce that so I can understand it.
Well, you know, when you do a complex calculation, the figure phase angle, you get sine, cosine function,
yes.
Real world imaginary function.
Yes.
The human emanations are based upon the imaginary functions, not the real. But if you're 100% right, the real world emanations from a human being are very weak, but the imaginary world emanations are very strong. This is why you need typically vacuum potential to detect this stuff.
Hmm.
This is why you're better off with an older vacuum tube receiver. And, of course, I think you're well aware of the debates over which works better.
I certainly am, yes. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Good morning. What about the nuclear waste? What about the nuclear waste?
Well, I don't think we're going to deal with that one. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Radio Free America.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Nichols. How are you doing?
Okay.
Art, I tell you what, you know, I wouldn't have bought this for a second if there wasn't something really weird going on in the world today. But my question is, and Linda Thompson talked about the holograph, and you were talking about cracking into the underworld. Could this be described as hell?
Hell is whatever you make it.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the biblical aspects of what you're describing in the underworld. And have you ever seen any alien beings?
All right. Preston, have you?
Yes, I've seen some alien beings.
You have?
Who or what they are beats the hell out of me.
What have you seen, exactly? And how and where?
At Montauk, they had a little creature that looked all the world like the little grays as described by Whitley Strieber.
Oh?
About 4 foot tall, and they stunk to high heaven.
Stunk?
And then we had a thing that resembled a cross between a lizard and a human being. What it was, I really don't know.
I have heard that description before, too, kind of reptilian.
Yeah. The closest thing, there was an old Star Trek episode where Captain Jerk fought something called a Gorn that sort of looked like what I saw at Montauk. Now, I will say, I don't drink, I don't use drugs, I don't do any of that stuff. I also don't hallucinate. They were.
Have you ever been under the care of a psychiatrist?
Nope.
No? All right, I just had to add that one in there. So in other words...
That's a valid question.
Yeah. I mean, some of this, you've got to admit, Preston, it's wild stuff.
I know it's wild stuff, but this is why I doubted my own sanity at times. Myself.
On
the... I've come to the conclusion that's not me, that I was seeing this crud real. Also, a lot of the other people at Montauk saw the same thing and described exactly the same.
How many other people have corroborated what you're saying, or even parts, substantial parts of what you're saying?
Oh, about 30-odd people.
30-odd people.
Yeah.
All right. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Hi, I'm Mr. Bell.
Hi, where are you, please?
I'm calling from New Orleans.
New Orleans, Louisiana, okay.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about the gun issue. Is that okay?
Well, that's not what we're talking about right now, sir. I've got a guest.
I didn't know because your show is not on yet.
I see.
On our radio.
All right.
I'll check back another time.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's New Orleans, Louisiana, about to come on. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Preston Nichols. Hello.
Yeah, Art. I'm curious. These kind of projects have to involve great deals of money.
No doubt about it.
And no doubt. Yes.
And they say to solve all mysteries, you follow the money trail.
True.
Isn't anybody checking what's going on? I mean, if Area 51 exists, there's got to be billions going into that. And if he's talking, there's got to be billions going into this. Is anybody keeping track of the money? Is
well,
there
you know, that's
find
that,
out. Are the senators aware of this?
All right. Hold on a sec. That's a good question. All I can tell you is this. I don't know about what Preston's saying, but I can tell you darn well Area 51 does exist. Billions do go into it. And that's a fact. And so, Preston, what about the money angle in Montauk?
Well, we had an interest from the office of Senator Barry Goldwater, quite a few in the middle 80s. And I was told that they could not trace any congressional appropriations for the Montauk Project. Now, I was handed a list of companies here on Long Island that all either reorganized or out of business today.
Uh-huh.
The interesting thing to note is right after this happened, about 6 months to a year later, they started what they call core audits. They said they were looking for the $250 toilet seat. Why would they go ask the worker on the floor, what are you working on? The only reason they'd ask the worker on the floor, what are you working on, is they're looking for hidden projects. Montauk was a hidden project. There's rumors that the Montauk Project was financed by gold smuggled from the Nazis. We really don't know. This is something that Al Bielek has suggested.
All right. Preston, hold on a moment. We'll be right back to you. My guest is Preston Nichols. He's talking about the Montauk Project. All right. Back now to Preston Nichols. Preston?
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people listening or who would fax me or write to me or you and would say you're crazy as a loon. What would you say to them? How would you defend that? Now, technically, you have a lot of details, and I am impressed by that, but some of it is quite admittedly pretty fantastic stuff.
It's very fantastic stuff. The first thing I would mention is people used to say to me they remembered me from the Montauk base. I didn't remember them until I broke the memory blocks I had. This stuff is highly possible. We have a lot of witnesses. I think we have to look at, can 1,000 Frenchmen be wrong? We have no real-world documentation, evidence, proof. The only proof we have is that they're doing something strange, even to this day. And we were talking of 420 to 460 megahertz broadcast.
That's right.
And we're still finding emanations in the same frequency range to this day. I first got excited thinking I was picking up the signal out of time from the 70s and the 80s, but I came to realize, no, this is generated today. If they're doing something like this today, fitting the specs, sending out a very strong ELF signal that I picked up on coils as pulses without a carrier, and the carrier, if they're still sending out, that means the equipment I'm describing is there to this day, producing signal, and it probably was there in the 70s and the 80s, and they probably were playing back then.
Well, it also raises an awful lot of questions.
Yes, it does.
For example, not just the shootings, the mindless headshaker shootings that are going on, but society's behavior in general
is
very strange indeed, and is deteriorating, in my view, in the view of most others who stand back and view it. Things are out of control. The state of civilization is less. People's tempers are short. And when it's the worst case, they're picking up guns and shooting each other.
Well, how would you react if you had a hammer pounding on your head continuously?
You'd eventually get irritated and do something awful.
Right. You got to think of all this stuff that they're sending out in the ethers, purposefully or accidentally, is like someone sitting tapping on your head with a hammer.
Well, I guess with your pulse technology, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Today a pulse.
Well, it's true. It is true. It does.
Yeah. That's how they get 90% efficiency.
You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that.
Fine. I do know radio and electronics.
Yes, you obviously do, and I guess you could easily be right about the pulsed aspect of it.
Well, the neurological system operates on a pseudo-random ordered pulse function. You read any book on brain activity, that's the first thing they say. If you take the neurological signal out of a nerve, put it into an audio amplifier, it sounds like static.
Preston, hold on. We'll do the news and come back to you.
Okay.
Preston Nichols and the Montauk Project and Mind Control. We'll be back with him right after the news. This is CBC.